From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, Archangels. But here's what's happening. Brazilian police have arrested 10 people who pledged allegiance to the Islamic State, ISIS, and discussed possible attacks during the Rio de Janeiro Olympics. Police acted because the group discussed using weapons and guerrilla tactics to launch attacks. They got them. Just over a year after Donald J. Trump announced he was joining a packed field of political veterans seeking the Republican nomination for president, the New York billionaire has now completed an astonishing and historic political ascent Thursday night in Cleveland, officially claiming his party's nomination and declaring to struggling Americans, "I am your voice." Let's check in with Joe Gomez, the Coast to Coast AM national correspondent out there in Cleveland. Well, he pulled it off, Joe.
Yes, he did. This was a barn burner of a speech, hour and 15 minutes in length, and Donald Trump used teleprompters, but seemed very presidential. There were a couple of major themes during his speech. He said he was going to be the law and order candidate. He also talked about bringing safety back to America, restoring safety when he's elected office. And he used a line which I think is probably going to be repeated for a couple of days to come. He said that he would do everything in his power as president to protect the LGBTQ community. That's the first time
a
Republican presidential nominee has said anything like that.
Joe, you're going to head off to Philadelphia now for the Democratic convention, so we'll be talking to you next week.
That's right. That sounds good to me, George. It's going to be a very interesting week for sure in Philly.
All right, and thanks for your reporting. Joe Gomez, the Coast to Coast AM national correspondent. And we will, by the way, be following this throughout the course of the election, obviously. But we have an Instapoll up at coasttocoastam.com for you on Trump's speech. And right now, overwhelmingly, people who watched the speech and have participated in the Instapoll thought he did a magnificent job. Let's check in with Dr. John Curtis to see what he thinks. John, go ahead.
Well, hey, George. I think Trump's speech was absolutely a home run. And the target audience for that speech, as well as it played in the hall at Quicken Arena, the target audience were independent voters and crossover Democrats. He really reached out with the fixed election theme and the economy to Bernie supporters. And I think what he, with his daughter preceding him, Ivanka, and his, son Eric and Donald before that, these kids really sell him well. They are true believers. They passionately love their father and believe that he can turn this country around. And I think this speech, almost point by point, not only indicts Hillary Clinton, but it also presents the kind of lost wealth, lost prosperity, lost future that exists in the United States today, and promising to take the helm and reverse course for the United States. And it's those voters out there that are undecided and that are independents and Democrats, like those Reagan Democrats, who are not satisfied with what they're going to hear next week, which essentially is, the argument is, how is Hillary going to do anything more than Obama did when she's going to be faced with a Republican Senate and a Republican House in the fall? Now, it's true there may be a couple votes here or there that are going to change. How is she going to get anything done? That message really is going to resonate with independent voters because people want change in 2016.
They sure do. John, we'll talk to you as we look at the Democratic convention next week, okay?
Well, I think we'll talk tomorrow, maybe, I thought.
Maybe not.
All right.
That's Dr. John Curtis. Howard Bloom, of course, one of his books is called Global Brain. What's the global brain thinking of now, Howard?
Well, the trick is Donald Trump made a crucial declaration tonight. He said, here at our convention, there will be no lies. We will honor the American people with the truth and nothing else. And the big question is that's true? And you started a quote from one of his most stirring passages at the end of his speech. He said, that we don't win anymore, we're going to start winning. Hillary Clinton makes people swear an oath. She says, I'm with her. I say, I'm with you. I am your voice. I will fight for you, and I will win for you. I make this promise. We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again, and we will make America great again. Now, back to rhetoric versus reality. Trump told us tonight that he's going to bring back America's strength and respect in the world. But a few hours before he spoke, the Baltic states were trembling because Trump said in an interview with the New York Times that he would not necessarily protect our NATO allies. He would not necessarily live up to our NATO obligations. And meanwhile, Vladimir Putin's troops are massing on the borders of the Baltic states the way they massed on the borders of the Ukraine. That has shaken the Baltic states. Trump says he will drive the lobbyists out of Washington. But there were two Cleveland parties tonight. One was addressed by Newt Gingrich about all the fat cat deals you could make in the first 100 days of the Trump presidency. And guess who Gingrich was talking to? A bunch of lobbyists. And they were passing out a bumper sticker. And that bumper sticker said, make lobbying great again. Meanwhile, Paul Ryan was holding another party for fat cat donors to get them to support the Republicans holding on to the Senate. Trump says that the elite media, fat cats, and major corporations are lining up behind Hillary Clinton. They have total control over Hillary, he says. Trump says that Hillary is their puppet, but a puppet is what Mike Pence is for the Koch brothers, who run a coalition of conservative billionaires and multi-generational huge money families. Trump says he's going to sweep out the old crooked way of doing things, and that would be extremely nice. But he has the same policies that Republicans have had for 144 years, since 1872. Reduce taxes on the rich and reduce regulation on big industry, and the promise is we will all prosper. Well, those policies have produced three of the biggest depressions in American history. Trump says the economy is in ruins, but the stock market is at its highest point today in American history. Now, is that because the Republican Party has nominated Donald Trump for president, or is it because of Barack Obama? But there is something radically new. Ivanka Trump promised something just as unlikely for the Republicans as Trump's support. I mean, he had Peter Thiel, a co-founder of PayPal, who is openly gay tonight. Mm-hmm. He did say he's going to protect the lesbian and gay community. And his daughter Ivanka says she promised affordable daycare and equal wages for women. So John is right. Trump is trying to cross over and get Democrats.
Well, and he may pull that off. Howard, thanks. We'll be talking to you next week, too. One of the moon's biggest craters was created by an asteroid more than 150 miles across, according to a study. It smashed into the lunar surface about 3.8 billion years ago, forming the feature also known as the right eye of the man in the moon. A Washington State man has made a startling discovery when he arrived at his home. Dennis Wallman of Green Lake said that when he got to his house, he found a couple of lights on in his bathroom window screen in his tub. But he said nothing strange dawned on him. Well, it would be to me. But he then heard noises at night coming from his attic. Some woman had been living up there. Who knows how long? In Sunrise, Florida, a 110-year-old lobster will not be served as dinner at a Sunrise restaurant anytime soon. Instead, the 15-pound crustacean named Larry will be shipped off to a Maine state aquarium thanks to the efforts of an animal rescue group and several South Florida businesses. Up next, economic predictions. Joseph Meyer back on Coast to Coast. Next, we'll be right back. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you, along with Joseph Meyer, a 30-year-plus veteran of the securities industry. He's worked as an arbitrator and a mediator for the NASDAQ and New York Stock Exchanges. He runs Meyer & Associates, which is a Florida-based investment and consultancy firm specializing in arbitration and mediation, business acquisitions, and capital for emerging growth companies. Joseph, always good to have you back. How are you, sir?
Good evening, George. Thank you and Coast to Coast AM for having me this evening. Always a pleasure to visit with you and your listening audience. Thank you, George.
So one of our guests in our news segment said the stock market is indeed at an all-time high. Are things that good, or are they being inflated? What's propping them up?
Well, I think it's an illusion. You know, I call the economic recovery basically an illusion from day one, that is beginning in the fall of 2009. And quite honestly, you and I spoke about a year ago, and everybody was very bearish on the equity markets. We had the Dow around 15,000, the S&P around 1,800, and I believe the NASDAQ was right around 4,200. And I said I thought the market would go higher, and over the last year, that's exactly what it's done, George.
Now, is it going to go much higher than this, Joseph?
Well, I got a target on the Dow that I'd like to share with you and your listening audience. I think you'd be somewhat surprised as to how high this market could actually go before we start back down, George.
Okay. What do you think?
I think in the Dow we can go to 20,000, and wow. I think in the S&P 500 we could trade right around 2350. As you know, we closed tonight in the Dow around 18,517 and in the S&P 2165. So if we can go to 20,000 from where we closed tonight, we'd have to go up about 1,480 points higher, and in the S&P about 185 points higher. So I think this market wants to go higher, and I think it will do that right up until the elections in November, George. That's the way I see it.
And once the president has been selected, has been voted on, will the market react to that?
Well, you know, historically, markets go up into an election and they go down thereafter. And if you go back and you study cycles and certainly, you know, what happens after presidential elections, most times the first 2 years of an incoming administration, we have a tough economy and we have a falling market. Doesn't mean it has to play out the same way this time around, but I think we've got to look at history and we've got to prepare for probably some tough times ahead of us, George.
Well, I think so, too. Regardless of who the president may be, Joseph, if we get hit with any kind of terrorist issues, I think the markets will plummet. We saw what happened during the tragedy of 9/11. Of course, the stocks rebounded, but wow, what a time that was. And then, of course, the bubble burst with the housing market. Stocks just plummeted.
Yes. Well, I think this is a time to be cautious. I think it's a time to be defensive. And what I've done for your show this evening is I put together some asset allocation ideas that I think people can utilize, certainly through the election and more importantly into year-end, George.
Okay, we'll get into all of that too, Joseph. And so how have you been over the past year since we last talked?
Well, you know, I'm writing the quarterly newsletter, Straight Money Analysis, and we recently wrote the most extensive analysis that I've ever written in the June 2016 issue, and we outline basically where I think the economy's headed and, more importantly, where the markets are going and what people can and should be doing with their hard-earned money, George.
We've got three candidates, of course, running for president. That includes the libertarian Gary Johnson. But I'm going to ask you about all three, not necessarily in any particular order. Okay. And I want your thoughts on what you think the economy will do if they're elected as president. Let's start with Gary Johnson, the libertarian.
Well, we're probably not going to see too much of a change initially. You know, I'm kind of skeptical of the candidates. Not that I don't like the ones that are running, because I do, but I'd certainly like to see more detailed specifics of exactly how they're going to change what's been going on in the economy and, more importantly, their plan to put people back to work, George. That's what I'd like to hear more about.
Okay. Now, specifically to Donald Trump, if he gets elected, what do you think?
Well, I think he's going to certainly try to repair the infrastructure of America, which is in very bad shape. I know we could put an awful lot of people back to work on major projects that would probably take years to complete. You know, he's talking about cutting taxes. He's talking about certainly fixing the economy, creating jobs, and tightening national security. You know, you got to give the man credit. He's been an awfully successful businessman, and he's done something that no one's ever done before as a business person, you know, securing the nomination of the Republican Party for president. I take my hat off to him, George.
Oh, no question about it. In his speech tonight, Joseph, he did have a lot of I will do this.
Yes, he did.
I will do that. This is a team effort, and he's going to have to get the cooperation of the Congress and the Senate if he's going to get anything done, doesn't he?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, and more importantly, he's going to have to bring in some highly qualified and certainly people who've been proven to get the job done, to fill the administration and take over the departments and handle the jobs that are certainly going to be challenging as we move forward, George. That's another problem.
I always thought a good president would pick the best person for his or her cabinet, regardless of their party affiliation.
Very true.
And how about Hillary? What's going to happen economically if she's elected, in your opinion?
Well, I think if Hillary is elected, and I don't think at this point you can rule out with any certainty how this election will play out. I'm sure you'll agree, you never know what a voter's going to do until he goes into the voting booth and, mm-hmm. and pulls the lever.
Well, that's true. Now, Donald's going to get a bump, of course, because of the publicity of the convention this week. She'll get her bump next week. And then I think we're going to see, Joseph, one of the most vicious campaigns we've ever had.
It's been vicious already, George.
I know, but wait till this happens. The gloves will definitely come off.
And you know what I'm waiting for in great anticipation? A presidential debate.
Yes, those will be interesting. They will be very interesting to watch. Your thoughts on Ted Cruz not endorsing Donald Trump, kind of, you know, facing the boos. He said today that the reason he didn't do it is because Donald literally verbally attacked his father and his wife, and that he wasn't about to support somebody like that. Is that a good enough excuse?
I don't think so, George. You know, he made a pledge that he would support whoever the candidate was of the Republican Party, and he's gone back on his word, and I think that's a great disappointment. I really do.
Yeah, I think it may have been a career killer for him. You never know.
Well, it certainly didn't help his career, that's for sure.
So, now, as we look at things happening here, I got to get your reaction, Joseph, to the Brits leaving the European Union, good or bad?
Well, I think it's a bad thing in the long term. You know, I wasn't surprised to see that. I felt very strongly that Britain would exit the European Union. And I think when you take a look at the reasons behind, you know, why they wanted to leave the European Union, they wanted to be in control of their country, their money, their borders, and more importantly, their own immigration policy. So it was a lot here that certainly, I think, led to the vote turning out the way it did, George.
Oil prices, they plummeted over the last year or so. What's going to happen in the future?
Well, I think we're going to see significantly higher oil prices. I think we did see the low in oil prices late last year and in early January, but you know, there's been in history, and I think you and I discussed this in a previous show, six periods where oil prices doubled within a two-year period of time. We saw it in January of 74, November of 79, September of 80, June of 2000, August of 2005, and December of 2008. So I think there's a very strong possibility that we've seen the lows in oil, $27.50, $28 a barrel, and I'm looking for oil to move back into the low 50s, and then longer term as we get into the late summer and fall into the mid-60s, George.
Can we, Joseph, sustain another hit like we did in 2007, 2008 economically?
I sure hope we don't have to find out the answer to that, George.
I know, me too. Me too. But if it happens, can we rebound again?
Well, what concerns me more than anything is if we enter a recession and it borders depression. And I think at this point, when you take a look at what's going on around the world, you can't rule it out. We've never started an economic contraction all through history with interest rates this low, George. There's no room for the Fed to be accommodative and move the rates lower. There just isn't any more room. That concerns me very, very much.
I've been very bullish on gold and silver. What about you?
Love gold and silver. Again, I think we saw the lows into year end, and I think we're seeing a little bit of a pullback and or consolidation and a rest here. But I'm looking for significantly higher gold and silver prices. Got two immediate targets on gold I'll share with you, George.
Okay, we'll come back in a moment, Joseph, and also get your pointers on what people can do. Then in our second hour, of course, we'll open up the phone lines. Joseph Meyer with us, his website, straightmoneyanalysis.com, linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com, and he puts out an amazing newsletter. And in terms of predictions, He's been pretty spot on. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Don't forget to vote on our Insta poll about what you thought about Trump's speech tonight. We'll do the same thing when Hillary has hers next week. When's the last time you heard that amazing song? It was on the bottom of my bumper bag, and I found it and pulled it out. It was dusty. No question about that. Asheville, North Carolina, August 27th. Take note, our live stage show event. And you can get full information by going to coasttocoastam.com. You'll see at the highlight reel the picture of the Asheville guests that will be there, three super guests, including Joshua P. Warren. And so just click that and come on out to the event. No matter where you live, come on out. We're going to have a great time. We're going to have a meet and greet afterwards. I'm not going to run away. We'll just have some fun in Asheville, North Carolina, August 27th. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Joseph Weyer with us for the rest of this hour, and next hour we'll take calls with Joseph. So how about some tips and techniques, Joseph? What can people do for the short-term and long-term future?
Well, I think in the short term, George, as I said, you know, my asset allocation and my strategy through the election and into year-end would be the following. 20% in gold with 10% in the quality miners and 10% in the bullion coin. Same thing with silver, 20% there. Utilities for income, 20%. Consumer staples, 20%. Those would be the soaps, tobaccos, food and beverage, household and personal products. And lastly, cash, 20% for emergency purposes. That's my asset allocation, George.
Now, tell us about allocation. What exactly is that? And then it's a balancing way of putting your money in certain places. Why do we do that? Are they hedges?
Well, we do it to diversify and certainly offset the risk that any market represents at any time, George. That's why we do it.
Well, it's smart. Now, how do you pick the industries that you've picked?
Well, I like the precious metals long term. I think they're very undervalued, and I think people can buy them and put them away, and I think we'll see significantly higher prices into year end and certainly into 2017 and beyond. In the utility sector, people can derive some decent income on a total return basis. You've got a capital gain possibility in the stock and a dividend yield. And the consumer staples, as you know, George, the soaps, the tobaccos, the food and beverage, household, personal products, they seem to continue to do well if we go through recession. And then lastly, you always need some cash for emergency purposes. And right now I'm allocating a portfolio of at least 20%, George.
All right. That makes a lot of sense. Cash is king sometimes, isn't it,
Joseph?
Yes,
it is.
It really is. And so if people live by this, what kind of return do you think they could expect?
Well, I think you're going to make money into the end of the year, and I think we're facing uncertainty now with what this market does, although, as I said earlier, I think we've got the potential from a momentum standpoint to rally significantly higher. But, you know, if you go back and you look at history, George, and I know you know this, we've had 9 major bear markets since the crash of September 1929. Did you know over those 9 previous bear markets, we've had an average bear market loss of 43.9% over a time duration of 21 months on average? You know that?
That's pretty big, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Wow. But it does. But it always seems to rebound, Joseph.
Well, it always seems to rebound, but the question is how much money do people lose and how long does it take for the market to come back and certainly bring back the portfolio to where it was prior, George? That's the concern.
No, that's a good point. That is absolutely a good
point. Right now, I'm concerned with two asset classes. I'm concerned with the money that's in 401ks, and I'm concerned with the money that's in IRA accounts.
How come?
Did you know in IRA accounts right now there's $7.3 trillion?
That's a lot of money. People's retirements, right?
Yes, it is, George.
And the 401ks.
401. If we look at the total retirement assets, including 401ks, it totals $23 trillion.
Gosh. Well, there's a lot. Now, do you deviate the plan at all from what you just said, the 20% in these various areas? Do you change that at all?
Well, we can change it at any time, but I think looking at the uncertainty we have moving forward, certainly politically and economically, and more importantly, what's going on internationally, I want to try to protect the equity in any portfolio diversify in areas that I think will do well regardless of what the markets do, George. That's the reason to do it.
What about buying real estate, Joseph?
I don't like real estate right now, George. I think the housing market is still overvalued. And as you know, we've seen commercial property in some of the trophy cities now go down and go down very significantly. So I think the high-end market is certainly starting to suffer, and I think it's going to filter its way through residential housing. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when.
I'm seeing a lot, at least out here in the L.A. area, I'm seeing a lot of for-lease commercial buildings,
yes,
more than I've ever seen in a long time, Joseph.
Well, this is a very tough business environment. It's very tough, I think, for businesses to turn a profit. I've never seen a more difficult economic cycle. And I think with interest rates being as low as they are, there's only one way for interest rates to go, and that's inevitably back up. Again, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when.
And do you find that in terms of retail, the internet has hurt it quite a bit?
Oh, absolutely. No question, the internet has had a tremendous impact on retail. We're seeing more mall closings. We're seeing more store announcement closings. And again, the retail sector has never gone through in my career a more difficult period. You're absolutely right, George.
I mean, I know, for example, even before I started talking about Sea Crane radios, when you need a radio, you go to Sea Crane's website, order it online, and it's delivered to you. Just
yes,
like that. No hassles, no nothing. You don't have to park. You know, you don't have to fight a parking lot, and there it is for you. It's amazing what's happening.
We're living in a different time, George.
I mean, look at, there was a time Sears was a giant. A giant.
Yes, it was.
Where is
yeah.
it now, Joseph? It's not that big, is it?
It's on a brink of bankruptcy.
Exactly.
We're questioning whether Sears is even going to survive in the longer term. They've had so many store closings.
What hurt them, the big Home Depots and Lowe's, those kind of stores?
Combination of many things, but when I was growing up, and I'm sure you'll agree, Sears was king of the road.
They were. They were the anchor at almost every shopping mall.
Yes, they were.
And those days are changing too. Sports Authority, they're going out of business.
Yes, they are.
You know, so I mean,
we're in a very competitive environment, and you've got to keep up with what is going on. And
well, goods are being sold, right?
Not selling enough, George.
No.
Cost of doing business has never been higher. Never lose sight of that.
Well, that's true, too.
It costs a lot of money to open a door and run a business every day.
Yep. Yep. What's going on in China these days, Joseph?
China's having a little bit of a slowdown, but I think they'll come out of it. The housing market's been kind of weak. As you know, their banks have had a problem, and their markets have been very erratic, and China recently cut interest rates, as, you know, I think we're going to see other nations around the world do. You know, we have negative interest rates now in Japan, Denmark, Sweden, Switzerland, and the ECB bank, as you know, has negative interest rates for the 18 nations that use the euro. The question is, could we, if things really get bad here in the U.S., go to negative interest rates? I hope we never see that day, George.
And that means, of course, if you put $100 in the bank, you get to take out $95. That's what you made, right? That's it. You pay them to keep your money.
That's exactly right. You pay them to keep your money safe.
God. I think the old under-the-bed cash thing might be the smartest thing to do, Joseph. What do you
Not
think?
Not a bad idea, George.
Unbelievable. So as you look at the overall picture, what's your gut tell you about the next 3 years?
Well, I think the global economy is in no doubt slowing very dramatically. I think the quantitative easing has been a failure. It's failed to certainly lift these economies, and at some point, we're going to see a repricing of all asset classes and, more importantly, a repricing of the currencies they're priced in. We could be looking at a couple of years of some very, very tough times. You know, people lose sight. The wealth disparity and the transfer of wealth that has gone on over the last several years is only comparable if we go back to what took place during the Great Depression in the 1930s, George. Since 2009, 95% of all income gain has gone to the richest 1% of the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
population. The average American medium household income remains below 1999 income levels. We've got over 50 million Americans on food stamps. We've got many people earning more, being on welfare than seeking meaningful employment. I mean, this has been a crazy cycle and a crazy time, George.
Well, it has. But are we going to get through it?
We always do. The question is, how much pain till we get through it? And I think that's the reason why you've got to own the precious metals, both gold and silver, and continue to buy them and put them away. You know, I wanted to say earlier, I've got a short-term target on gold, 1420, and I think by the end of the year we could trade as high as 1550. But as I said in previous shows we've done together, I'm more positive on a percentage basis on what silver can do, because I think silver moving forward from here will outperform gold. We've already traded to $21 in silver very briefly. I think the next area we look for is 37 and 50.
God, it was like at $10 6 months ago, wasn't it?
About $15, George.
15.
Yeah, we traded gold down to 1070 into year-end.
That's a pretty good return.
Metal mining shares have tripled in 6 months. Do you know that?
That's amazing.
Yes.
What do you think of, like, silver futures and gold futures? Is that risky?
Well, it's very risky because you're using leverage and you only need a small move to wipe out your equity. You know, as I've said many times, I'd like to see people own the quality miners, buy the leadership, the good dividend paying miners, and put them away. And take possession of your bullion coins and put them away. And, you know, stack the odds very heavily in your favor to be successful in these markets. There's no need to take the kind of crazy risk people take. I mean, what they're doing is just pure gambling with their hard-earned money, George. I don't approve of anyone doing that. I really don't.
People want a quick fix, don't they, Joseph?
Well, you chase that quick buck, and a lot of times it's elusive, and you wind up losing your capital.
Well, that is true. When President Obama continued the bailout that George Bush was doing, was that the right thing to do, or should he have let companies fail?
Well, you know, we've had the mantra, too big to fail, and look where it's led us. You know, TARP was supposed to cure all the ills of what had taken place in the banking sector and Wall Street. It was $800 billion. As you know, it was the first contribution to a fund that's literally been ongoing now for years. Trillions have been pumped into the banking system in Wall Street, and it has failed to bring back prosperity to working class America. So you got a question, you know, was it right to go in and try to save these companies? I think at the time it was the right thing to do, but I think over the long term, I think we regret having done it.
At what point does China say, we're cashing in all our bonds, we want our money back?
Well, I don't think we can rule that out. You know, China has about $3 trillion in U.S. denominated assets. We know there's $1 trillion in Treasury securities, but we don't know where the other $2 trillion is. And I think that's the concern, you know, that China no longer wants to continue to fuel and pay for our debt expansion. Got $19 trillion in national debt, George. I mean, there's no way we could even continue to pay the interest on
no.
it, let alone pay off the principal.
And what about Saudi Arabia? How much do they own?
They own $1 trillion. Japan owns $1 trillion. All these foreign countries hold significant amounts of our paper. That's the concern.
Can a country go bankrupt?
Absolutely.
So they can. Legally, they can go into court and wipe out all these debts?
Well, they can try to do that, and they can continue to print money on paper and ink till they run out of that.
Yeah, that's true, too. So, how, you know, in terms of us as a nation, with that kind of debt, Joseph, you can't pay it back. That's crazy. You know that.
No, we can't.
So what do you do?
Well, you know, I've had people say to me, we owe the money to ourselves. Well, that may be very true. We owe our money to ourselves, but we have an awful lot of foreigners that are holding that paper. And they don't care whether we owe it to ourselves. All they know is they'd like their money back, and they'd like it back sooner or later. And that's the problem, you know, with these low interest rates and these foreigners, they don't continue to buy our debt. Who will, George?
Exactly. Exactly. What would have happened during the bailout if they had given every taxpayer $100,000 in, you know, notes to spend on stores and in retail stores and stuff like that? What would have happened to the economy? You had to spend it.
Well, I think we would have had a much different economy than we've had, and certainly we wouldn't be in the economic scenario we're currently facing. You know, through the last several years, we've continued to lose, as you know, the decent-paying manufacturing jobs overseas. We're creating these minimum wage, no-benefit jobs. And I did a little research, and do you know that Walmart now is the largest employer in 19 states, George? You know that?
Yeah, I had heard that. Huge.
You know what state Walmart has the most employees in?
No. Which one?
Texas.
Because they have more stores?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you go where the stores are.
You know what state has the fewest employees for Walmart? Wyoming.
Because they have the fewest stores there.
Yes, they do.
See? I learned this stuff, Joseph. What do you think?
I think you're a smart man.
Not quite like you, Joseph, when it comes to this.
Well, you know, I've been in the markets 50 years, George. I think I told you that on our last show. I started investing in 1966. I was 19 years old, and I went up on Wall Street as a professional in 1972. I was 25 years old, and I'm writing the Straight Money Analysis newsletter 7 years.
That's going great for you, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. We have subscribers to it from all over the world. It's a quarterly newsletter, but we write about the things that people truly need to know, and we tell you why they matter. And lastly, and always more importantly, we tell you what you can and should be doing about them.
You look at trends, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So important to be able to do that. And
well, as I've said many times, how can you understand the future when you have no understanding of the past? You know, I don't write from the perspective of having read about prior economic cycles in history books. I write about the times that I've actually lived and I've worked within. I was actually there. I was there in the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s. I was part of all those markets and part of what took place in the economic cycle. So I write not from the standpoint of having read and understood history. I write from the standpoint of having lived it. Big difference, George.
Joseph, there seems to be an economic downturn every 7 or 8 years. It seems to be a pattern.
Yes.
Are we approaching that now? We had one in 2001, regardless of what causes it. We had it. And then 2008. We had one, so, you know, we're talking about 2016, where, you know, here we are. What do you think?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think when you take a look at where the markets had bottomed in March 2009 and you look at where they are today, people lose sight that in March 2009, when the economy bottomed and the bear market was complete, the Dow was 6,470 and the S&P was 670. We got the Dow 18,500 and the S&P 2165. So we literally saw a tripling of the markets within a seven-year period of time. The only other period where we could look back and say that it exceeded what we've witnessed over the last several years would be the bull market that took place in the 1920s.
If anybody remembers that.
I do.
But you weren't there.
I wasn't there, but I've studied history, and I've certainly looked back over that period of time. And yes, there are differences, but there's many similarities that I think you've got to recognize and certainly understand what was actually taking place in these last several years. You know, these markets have had a historic bull run, and you're absolutely right. We're long overdue for a recession, and we're long overdue probably for a pretty nasty and deep bear market. I think if we do enter a bear market, and I can't rule it out, I think there's two areas we can expect this bear market to trade down to. I think we trade down first to the 14,100 level, which was the 2007 highs, and if we don't make a bottom there, then we trade down to the 2000 highs in the Dow 11,780. So I think we could see a 30 to 50% correction in equity prices if we enter a vicious bear market, George. That's the reason why you got to protect your equity in a 401k or the IRA.
Joseph, we're going to come back in just a moment here. We're at the top of the hour. We'll take phone calls with you. So those of you who are fascinated by your own investments, check in with us next on Coast to Coast AM.